Welcome to the Advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson on the Jungle Arp Route Method, a dark 90s-inspired riser technique for drum and bass. In this lesson, we're going to build a transition that does way more than just go up. The whole point is controlled tension. We want motion, pressure, grime, and space that all evolve together, so the listener feels the drop coming before it lands. Think jungle tape energy, but with clean modern routing and low-end discipline. This technique usually lives in the final 8, 16, or 32 bars before a drop. It can also work before a second drop or under a breakdown when you want something musical but still unsettling. The big idea is simple. Instead of one generic riser sound, we build a routed system with multiple layers. One lane carries the musical identity, one lane adds grit, one lane adds space, and one lane gives us a resampled tail we can shape like audio. So let's start with the source. Create a MIDI track and load a synth like Waveatable, Analog, or Operator. For this kind of dark jungle feel, keep the patch fairly simple. A saw or square-based sound works well, with a little detune or chorus motion if needed. You do not want a huge preset here. You want something lean enough that the movement and routing can do the heavy lifting. Now write a 1-bar minor key motif. Keep it short. 3 to 5 notes is plenty. You can use the root, minor third, fifth octave, and maybe a flat second or seventh for extra tension. The goal is not a busy melody. The goal is a phrase that feels like it belongs in a dark DNB tune and can be repeated without getting annoying. Before the synth, add Ableton's Arpeggiator. Start with up-down or converge style, rate at 1/16 or 1/32 depending on how frantic you want it, gate around 35-55%, and a distance of 12 or 24 semitones if you want wider climbing motion. If you want a little instability, bring in a tiny amount of chance. Not too much, just enough for a slightly broken, human, jungle feel. Here's the reason this works so well in DNB. The ARP gives you rhythmic engine. It already has momentum. That means we can focus on making it feel like it's evolving instead of just turning up the volume. Next, shape the tone before we get too deep into the motion. Put EQ 8 after the synth. High pass it somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz so the riser stays out of the sub lane. If the sound gets boxy, cut a little around 250 to 500 Hz. If it gets too sharp before distortion, ease off some of the 2.5 to 4.5 kHz area. And if you want a more old-school jungle edge, a small boost around 700 Hz to 1.2 kHz can help push that nasal, haunted character. After EQ 8, add auto filter. Use a low-pass 24 filter, some resonance, and just a touch of drive. Then automate the cutoff so the riser opens up over time. A good starting range is somewhere low and murky at the beginning, then opening to a much brighter range by the end. But don't open it too quickly. The tension comes from restraint. If everything is bright too early, the build loses its drama. Now we create the first big routing move. Split the ARP into a clean lane and a dirty lane. You can do this with an instrument rack and two chains, or by duplicating the track if that feels faster. The important part is that each lane has a job. The clean lane is there for pitch identity. Keep it relatively controlled. A little saturation is fine. A little chorus or ensemble for width is fine too, but keep it subtle. You can even use utility to keep it narrow or mono for most of the buildup. The dirty lane is where the attitude lies. Push some saturator or drum bus for bite. Add a touch of redux if you want that 90s digital dirt, but keep it subtle. The point is not lo-fi destruction. The point is to give the riser a rough edge that sits better with breakbeats and old-school jungle energy. Think of it like this. The clean lane tells your ear what the note is, and the dirty lane tells your body that something is about to happen. Now route both of those layers into space. Create two return tracks. One should be a short plate or room reverb. The other should be a tempo sync delay, like echo. On the reverb, keep the decay reasonable, use a short pre-delay and filter the low end out so it doesn't clutter the mix. On the delay, try dotted eighth or quarter note timing, with feedback high enough to create movement but not so high that it runs away from you. Darken the repeats so they sit behind the dry signal. Now automate the sends. Start with very little space, then increase the amount as the riser gets closer to the drop. This is one of the key ideas in the whole method. The sound should not just get louder. It should get wider, deeper, and more unstable, but in a controlled way. That's how you make a pre-drop feel alive instead of generic. Now let's add a second movement layer. This is where the route method really starts to feel like a jungle system rather than just a synth with effects. Add a second layer that is related to the ARP, but not identical. It could be a one-note pedal tone, a minor stab, a broken octave figure, or even a textural slice from your own resample. The idea is to create a call and response tension shape. Use AutoPan for movement. You can set it to a musical rate like 1/8 or 1/4, and then decide whether you want more stereo motion or a tremolo-style pulse. If you want even more uncanny tension, add a tiny bit of frequency shifter. Keep it very subtle. A small shift is often enough to make the whole thing feel haunted. Then send this layer to the same reverb and delay returns, but only bring it in during the last 4 to 8 bars. That late appearance matters. It makes the build-up feel like it's discovering a second voice instead of just repeating the same motion. Now we print the movement. Create an audio track and set it to resampling, or route the ARP bus into it. Record the last 4 to 8 bars of the build-up as audio. This step is huge, because once you've committed to audio, you can start editing the transition like a performance object instead of a static MIDI pattern. After recording, trim the clip cleanly. Remove empty space at the start. Add a tiny fade if needed. Only warp if the timing actually needs correction. If there's a little tail that wants to reverse into the drop, go for it. You can also keep it as audio and process it further with filters, tiny reverse sections, or warp marker nudges for a little drag. Why resample? Because risers often sound better after they've passed through several stages of processing. You get a more coherent texture, and you can carve the ending much more precisely. This is where the sound stops being a preset and starts becoming part of the track. Now we automate the route to the drop itself, not just the pitch. This is an important teacher note. Automate contrast, not only intensity. A strong pre-drop usually narrows, dims, and then bursts. That contrast is what makes the drop feel huge. So in the final 2 bars, automate filter cutoff, reverb send, delay feedback, stereo width, and distortion drive. Let the filter open up, then snap it down right before the drop. Let the delay get more active, then cut it. Let the width spread out, then collapse back to mono at impact. Let the dirty lane get a bit more aggressive, then pull it back or bypass it on the drop. A varied effective move in dark DNB is a brief low pass close down on the last 8th note before the drop. It creates a tiny vacuum. That vacuum makes the drums and bass feel way harder when they return. And this is where arrangement awareness matters. Place the riser so it interacts with the drum phrasing. If you're working in a roller, it might lead into a subtle variation over 16 bars. In jungle, it might connect to a break edit or a bass switch. In a more neural-leaning section, it can lead into a sharp fill or a bass re-entry. Do not let the riser be the only event. DNB transitions hit harder when the drums also imply momentum. A snare fill, a break edit, or a final impact hit in the last bar gives the riser something to answer. And if your drop is sub-heavy, make sure the build-up clears space. Keep low end out of the riser. Keep the stereo width under control in the low mids. And be careful with long reverb tails that could smear the first kick and snare. A strong arrangement might be a 16-bar breakdown, followed by an 8-bar ARP build, a 2-bar drum fill, and then a 1-beat mute, before the drop. That kind of contrast is often way more powerful than endless rising noise. A few common mistakes to watch for. First, don't let the riser carry too much sub. High pass it harder if you need to. Dark does not mean muddy. Second, don't make the ARP too busy. In jungle and roller contexts, tension often comes from repetition plus evolving texture, not constant note spam. Third, don't over-widen too early. Keep the beginning narrower and open up later. If the build starts huge, the drop has less impact. Fourth, make sure your reverb doesn't wash over the downbeat. If the first hit gets swallowed, the drop loses power. Fifth, manage distortion with EQ. Bright distortion can get harsh fast, especially around 3 to 6 kHz. And sixth, always check the key. Your riser should support the drop tonality, not fight it. If you want to go deeper, here are some advanced variations. Try harmonic split routing, where one chain carries the root and minor third, and another carries the upper tensions. Process the upper chain with more delay and stereo, while keeping the lower chain darker and narrower. That keeps the harmony grounded while still giving the top layer more drama. Try reverse density build, where you start sparse and automate note density upward by adding more MIDI events each bar. That creates pressure in a more mechanical way than just a sweep. Try a broken step riser, where one bar stays stable and the next bar is slightly offset or misaligned. That tiny rhythmic instability can sound very jungle and very uneasy. You can also let pitch rise, while the filter briefly closes on accents. That push-pull tension is powerful, especially if the sound is already bright. And once you've resampled the build, try flipping just the aggressive tail in reverse and tucking it under the clean print. That can create a subtle suction effect into the drop. For sound design, keep the motion controlled. A little chorus or ensemble can help, but don't turn it into a wide retro wash. A faint noise bed can add tapira texture if you high-pass it and keep it low in the mix. A resonant bandpass on one layer can make the buildup feel tunnel-like and claustrophobic. And if the dry ARP starts getting too sharp, distort the return instead of the source. That way you preserve note clarity while still getting atmosphere. One last arrangement idea: treat the final beat like a cutscene. The last eighth or quarter note before the drop can be silence, a choke, a hard filter cut, or a near silence moment. That tiny void can make the downbeat feel massive.